They put it right here, Calvin, not use the mic. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, and we'll get there in a second. Book of Ezekiel. I want to ask the church something. Maybe I guess this would be in the way of a business, and I've got a sticky note so I would remember this. Brother Bobby, every Friday, has a devotional at school in the morning with athletes, football players and different ones, coaches and everybody. And he gives a devotional, but he has been buying donuts and milk and giving them that kind of as an incentive to come, and then he can give the gospel. If the school pays for that, other preachers can come in from other denominations and he'd have to share that time. If he pays for that, then he gets to do it. He gets to say what he wants to say, and it's kind of our baby. I'd like to see us take the responsibility of the milk and the donuts and not make Bobby do that. And we'd actually be sponsoring that devotional time. If I would get somebody to make so... Okay. I feel good because I've got a son that's going to be sitting in them devotionals too, and I want him just to hear the truth all the time, not anything else. So it kind of works for my benefit as well as other people. But and I appreciate Bobby having that opportunity. But this kind of locks us in to where, since we're supplying it, Bobby gets to do the speaking for it. Or if he so wanted anybody else to come in from our group, we could do that as well. So we got a motion. We had a second, right? Any questions about that? All in favor of that? You get that, Miss Anita? Okay. I wanted to get that out of the way because I think it's a good thing that's being done, and I like for us to be a part of that. All right. Let me, before I read from Ezekiel, I do this every year around Halloween, kind of explain things. I'm not a big guy against everything, okay? I just like to open people's eyes to what things really represent. When I lived in Central America, Belize, there was this holiday that's being celebrated tonight, but it was not called Halloween. It was called Old Hallows Eve, or Day of the Dead. And this day is not anything like you're seeing outside tonight, okay? It's a whole different ball game. But this is where this all comes from, and I thought it would be good for everybody to really know what the history is behind that. We know with Christmas what the history is there. We know Easter what the history is there. I just want to share the history of Halloween. So here's what happens on Day of the Dead or Old Hallows Eve. On this day, every year, the 31st of October, the Catholic Church celebrates this day. This is a religious holiday for the Catholic Church. And here's what they do. They will fix a meal at home. Let's say that this is Dub and Ida Mae's house. And Dub and Ida Mae are going to celebrate Old Hallows Eve or Day of the Dead. What they will do is, Ida Mae will fix a big meal. This meal has to be big enough to cover their dead parents, their dead children, their dead aunts and uncles. We're talking about first generation relatives. This meal has to be big enough to cover that. There is a place setting for every one of the people that's alive and dead. So not only would Dub and Ida Mae be there, Hannah and say your name for me out loud. There you go, Maddie. And it's not Carrie, it's Maddie. And Lona and Anita and Jason, all their family would be there, but they'd also set plates for relatives. There'd be one for a grandson, there'd be one for a brother. There'd be one for those of your family that's close to you. Now, sometime between now and midnight, they believe that their dead relatives will come back from the dead. Only on this day, they will come, walk in the streets, find their way to these houses, and eat these meals. Now, you're thinking that sounds a little crazy, right? That's what you're thinking. But Rochelle and I have heard testimony from people who believe with all their heart that their mother and uncle and these people showed up and ate the meal. And as he was walking out of the house, one of them's grandmother turned into a pig and continued to go down the road. So this holiday has passed over into countries like ours. And the people's brought that, and so that's why we dress like skeletons and those kind of things. Those were traditionally the first dresses. And people go house to house, and they get the food. So the people's out walking the street are supposed to be the dead people. And they're the ones going to the houses getting the food. So I want you to see where this all originates from and why we have it. Now I can tell you this. Up until about 5 years ago, they would never legally have Halloween on a church night. It'd always be moved around to where it didn't interfere with church. So this, what's happening tonight has not always been a norm, okay? We shouldn't be competing tonight with Old Hallows Eve, but we are, and that's just the way it is. That's just reality. But I wanted to share with you all where this holiday come from and how it originated and why people do it. It is a belief system of a group of people who really believe their dead relatives come back this every year and worship that. Now, we had, and Mom probably doesn't realize this, but we had a neighbor in our neighborhood that we always thought was kind of crazy as Audrey's mother. But realistically, she was celebrating this holiday because she'd fix a meal, and I cut her grass. I know this. I cut her yard and I raked her leaves. And I can remember going in there, and she'd have her table set for her husband, who was going to be coming back tonight and eat a meal with her. And so, this is a real deal, and I just wanted to share with you really what it's about, okay? I know people out there tonight's not doing that, but realistically, that's how this holiday came about, and that's how it's celebrated, and that's why it's celebrated like it is, okay? So, that's a brief history of O Hallows Eve, or Day of the Dead, and we know it today as Halloween, okay? Brother Greg?
If there are leftovers, does anyone get to eat those?
No, but let me share this, because I missed a real important part that I don't want to skip over. When, let's say that WC's family is a Catholic family that celebrates this, and let's say Lona got saved. How many of you ever heard of the old adage, I will break your plate? Okay? Well, that's where this comes from. I've seen this happen firsthand. A man in our village by the name of Cruz Tepes, he got saved, and we were taking him to the sea to baptize him. His mother, very, very old lady, came to the sea, and I thought she was coming to support her son. But she come and told him that he was no longer part of the family, and wouldn't be involved in any of the family activities from this day forward. And this is what she said. She said, go with them. A few days later, he came to me and told me that his mother broke his plate. So literally, when that big meal happened, he wasn't allowed to come there. So, you know, like I'm saying, the scenario, if I'd may set the table tonight, Lona wouldn't have been invited. Her plate would have been broken, and she was no longer allowed to be a part of that. So it is a big deal to these families when they step out of their faith into the Christian faith. So here we are tonight. None of you have had your plates broken probably. And none of you have been ridiculed because you're a Christian. But a lot of people tonight, to be a Christian, it's a big deal. And a lot of people have lost their lives in order to be a Christian. A lot of people have lost their families when they become Christians. So just a little history about what all takes place. I was never invited to one of those meals. I knew some families, and I was close to those families, but I was never invited to that particular meal because I wasn't part of that. And I was never invited and never encouraged to come. So I just watched and observed the village as they did their thing. But this was a big night. Like in Belize tonight, this was a big deal. In other countries that are Catholic, this would be a big deal tonight. So whether it is in our country more than what we're doing tonight with the kids and getting candy, for some people this is a real monstrous big deal. There's certain foods that are cooked, and you can go online and get all that kind of stuff. There's a traditional meal. It isn't just what you want to fix, but there's a traditional meal that's fed this particular night. So just letting you know, kindly, a little history. Now, let's preach in a second, okay? Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. And I'm not going to charge you extra for that tonight. That was free. That don't happen often. Ezekiel chapter 7. I want to read verse. Let me just read one verse and I'll try to help you not be dragged out tonight. We all got here early tonight for the kids and no kids showed. And so, if we could have got word around, we'd have had church at 6 o'clock. Because it's already. So, but now that everybody's here, we'll jump in and get a message tonight. By the way, first time I've ever preached from this area in the Bible. And it's a pretty cool little verse that's here. It's a great story. And I think it has a lot of realistic things for us tonight. So I thought I'd share some of these with you. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for everything you do. We thank you for the privilege that we enjoy in this country to come and to worship freely. Thank you to the Lord tonight that we can open the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand it tonight, that we might get a better understanding of your word. And realistically, Lord, help us to understand what time in history that we're living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read it to you one more time. Try to get your mind focused on what's taking place. The Bible says they have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready. How many of you, when you've read the Bible, you read about the trumpets? How many of you have ever watched a old Western and the cavalry are coming? And what do they blow? They blow a bugle, which is kind of the same family as the trumpet. And what is that bugle doing? They got a couple of things they're doing, right? Sometimes you're watching and they're blowing it. Y'all know that movie. But there's also another time they blow it. And what does that mean? Retreat, run! You know, you're watching some of them Westerns and the Indians are winning. You know, they're swinging arrows and next thing you know, the trumpeter's blowing it and they're getting out of town. So, these trumpets, even in our day and time, were a big deal. And the Bible was a humongous deal because these trumpeters would blow war, celebration, worship. There's different trumpets for everything. They didn't, it's going to be a shocker. They didn't have texting. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have YouTube. They didn't have Facebook. And so, if they want everybody gathered up here tonight, they blew the trumpet to the crowd. They let them know it's worship time. If it's time for battle, we're being attacked, there's a trumpet to blow for that. So here's what the writer's saying, Ezekiel. He's saying, the trumpet's been blown. Even to make all ready. But, none goeth to battle. Can you imagine? They blow the sound of the trumpet. The enemy's attacking. Luke's sitting at home. He hears the trumpet. Hearing the trumpet. I'm hearing the trumpet. Whew. How much longer is he going to blow the trumpet? Nothing happened. Can you believe there's ever been a time in history? Now, we're talking about God's people. This is Israel. And the trumpet's been blown, but the people are not responding. Could you imagine that? You sitting here tonight, October the 31st, 2012, 7:35. Can you all imagine a trumpet being sounded for battle, and nobody responding? Well, you ought to, because that's what's happening right now. The trumpet's been sounded. You all been hearing preaching for years that the Lord is coming, and people need to be saved, people need to get ready. I said yesterday, our internet was messed up, I guess, because of the storm. I'm trying to get the devotional out. So, all I know is McDonald's is a hot spot. So I run up there and I sit down and I'm loading up my devotional from McDonald's, and I peeked over this way and there's this real elderly lady. And she's sitting there with another lady. And you know me, I'm nosy. So I start eavesdropping. And this lady's trying to explain to the other lady that hell is real. This one lady's saying, you know, I know that it says hell in the Bible and everything, but I just don't believe hell is real. And this other lady's saying, but it is real. And she started telling the story of a rich man last. This lady knew her Bible. Boy, she's just telling stories. And she said, there's a time I didn't believe hell was real either. But you know what? I realized hell was real, and I asked Jesus to save me so I wouldn't have to go to that place of hell. And she said, she looked at this lady and she said, are you willing to take a chance that hell's not real? I thought that was cool. So I'm over at the senior center today getting the food loaded up, and I look and there's that old lady. So I just go over there and I sit right down beside of her and I said, ma'am, you probably don't know this, but I was eavesdropping yesterday. And she looked at me and she said, I don't remember you. I said, I was praying while you was preaching. And she kind of giggled and she said, that's my neighbor. And I invited her to go drink coffee with me, and I bought her a biscuit, because she don't believe that hell is real. And I just wanted to give her an opportunity to get saved.
Amen.
Because she says, I think her time is running out.
Yep.
And I thought, praise Jesus, somebody's heard the trumpet. Amen. Somebody believes this is real.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you tonight, whether you want to swallow it or not, Jesus one day is coming. There's going to be a trumpet sound, and you're not going to get to do anything then.
That's right.
That's the last battle cry. And so we could be like this lady in the latter years of her life. I think she's in her 80s. And you could be inviting neighbors to go drink coffee at McDonald's and tell them about Jesus, or you can say it ain't real. But either way, we need to be figuring this out. And so here's a group of people that had heard the trumpets, but they wasn't doing anything. I want to say three quick things, and I promise I'll do them quick. Number one, now we've got to remember, Ezekiel's doing the preaching. There's like a cry of disaster or doom. Now, I don't want to be the doom and gloom guy. And I feel a little guilty tonight telling you about Halloween, but you know, I got to tell you the truth, okay? I want you to know that. And when we're dismissed, there's cupcakes down there, and if your kid didn't get no candy today, we got candy and cupcakes. We'll make sure they leave here all sugared up, okay? We'll fix them good. But I want us to understand tonight that God wants us to make choices in our lives. Some chose to go on to church. Some got candy and came to church. Don't neglect church.
Amen.
For anything.
Amen.
Anything. This is what God wants us to do.
That's right.
And what this does, this encourages other people. And so, there is a doom coming. I know y'all don't believe that, but I'm telling you. There's a real doom and gloom coming. And believe it or not, it's not coming next Tuesday with the election. All right? There's a real Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And there's going to be a 7-year disaster take place upon this earth. Worse than Sandy, not Smith, but the hurricane. Worse than earthquakes that's hitting Canada.
Yeah.
Worse than cancer.
Yeah.
There's a worse thing coming to this world. It's called a tribulation.
That's right.
And God's been sounding the trumpet for 2,000 years, telling people it's coming, but nobody's listening.
Yeah.
But I want you to know something. That's not brand new, because there's other times in history that they didn't listen either. It doesn't change the facts. Go back to chapter 7, look at verse number 1 through 3. The Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, everybody there? I didn't hear nobody. Everybody there? All right. Also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land. Y'all help me. When we talk about the four corners of the land, what are we talking about? How much of the world? North, south, east, and west, right? This gets her all. Now what he's telling them is, there's an end coming, an end to all ends. I like how he puts it.
Amen.
It's going to affect all four corners. Now, folks, that's coming. And it's soon, according to what he says here. Look what else he says in verse 4. And my eye shall not spare thee, neither will I pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am what? Alright, let me say this, number 2. Judgment's going to be severe. It's going to be sudden, and it's going to be severe. You know what the Bible says if you read Revelations? 1/4 of the earth will die. Then 1/2 of the earth will die. This is all going to happen in a 7-year period.
Yep.
That's a lot of funerals, Luke. Now, the good news is I ain't here.
Yep.
I'm not here. The bad news is probably some people in the building tonight will be here. Now, that's the time that there's going to be marks of the beast. And, you know, everybody wants to get all ghoulish and get scared. Let me scare you some. Y'all ready? There's going to be a mark of the beast that people have to receive. It'll be in their hand. It'll be in their foreheads. And you won't be able to go buy anything at dollar store without that mark.
Right.
Here's the deal. If you buy that mark, you're doomed for hell.
That's right.
Anybody with that mark can't get saved. Now, I don't have to worry about that, Mark Luke, because, Mark Luke, that's the Bible, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that. I'm just checking, see if you're still up.
Yeah.
Because you know why? I'm going to get raptured out of here before I have to take that mark.
Amen.
There's going to be a ruler take over the world, and he's going to rule all the world.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be a one world money. There's going to be a one world way. But it's not going to be God's way.
That's right.
Now, there's going to be 7 years that way here, okay? And there's going to be a lot of death. A lot of death. So, the deal is, I just thought I'd scare you a little bit for trick-or-treating, okay? Whoo, you're scared. I want you to know something tonight. This judgment of God is severe. When God does something, it's real. In the Bible, when He punished people, sometimes He'd open up the earth and swallow them. One time, y'all have heard the story, right? One time, out of the whole world, 8 people were left.
Yeah, that's right.
Put them in a boat, sealed up the boat, and killed everybody else.
That's right.
And every animal with them.
Yep.
Y'all remember that story? How many believe that's real?
Amen.
All right. I want you to know something. That's the same God who's coming back and going to destroy one more time. But you know what he said? I'd never do it with water again.
Yeah.
He's got another plan. You know what another plan is? According to 1 Peter, it's called fire. He's going to melt the earth, he said, with fervent heat. There's all everybody's trying to figure it out. They don't know if the earth's going to get too close to the sun and we're going to melt, or if it's going to be an atom bomb, or if it's going to be a nuclear war. We don't hear anything about nuclear wars, do we? That's not an issue, is it? That was for us, it was in the 80s, right? We're good now. Good, right? We're good. No nuclear threats now? I'm just checking. The third thing, in verse number 2, the four corners, this judgment is what? All-inclusive. You see verse 2? All four corners.
Yep.
See, there's a judgment coming that will not miss anybody. When I was a boy, hearing preachers preach like this, and I'd be sitting back there in the church, and a lot of times I didn't ever listen to church, but they start talking about Antichrist and beasts and doom, then I'd get scared. And when I got scared, I listened real good. Anybody like that? If you got scared, you listened real good? Well, see, when I got scared, I listened real good. And I can remember all perched up in my pew just listening to the preacher preaching, and I can remember him telling them stories, and all I can know is this. I know where a cave's at. And I'm going to hide in that cave, and they'll never find me there. See, my grandma and grandpa had a cave that was closer to the farm called the Jenkins Cave, and they had another outlet that you had to go down, and you went down in the hole for about 20 foot, and then you went that way. And I thought, I can hide from everybody. But you know what? You can't hide from God. You'll never find a hole deep enough to hide from God. You'll never find a cave deep enough that you can hide from God. When judgment's coming, it's coming for everybody. But I want you to understand something tonight. It doesn't have to get you.
No, that's right.
Because there's a trumpet that's being sounded. And that trumpet's saying, today's the day of salvation. You need to get saved so you don't have to worry about those things that are coming. But there's everybody still, Brother Luke, they're like this. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But you know what? It's going to be real. Now, I'll show you something else. Not only was it a call of doom, there was a call to defend. I want you to go with me now in the Scripture to back to verse 14. In verse 14, the Bible says this, they have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The trumpet was sounded. Everybody heard it. It was a time to defend. But let me show you something about the trumpet real quick. Keep your Bible marked. This is the only time I'm going to leave this place, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm trying not to give you the whole load tonight, but I can't find any things to skip yet. So, we'll just keep going. 1 Corinthians 14, 8. But I will get done in the next 12, 13 minutes, I promise. Look at verse 8. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 14, 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself? What? Now, let's just stop for a minute. By the way, I think preachers are people who sound the trumpet today. Sunday school teachers and preachers and missionaries and those. I think they're sounding the trumpet. They're telling everybody something. That's why you come tonight. We didn't come tonight to have share time, did we? We're not going to just go through every pew. Tell us, Brother Richard, what you think about the Bible tonight. That ain't the way you came, was it? You come to hear somebody share it. You come to hear a preacher share it, right? So let me ask y'all a question. Y'all ready? It's just a baby. It's okay. Everybody's all right. Let me ask you a question. How many people tonight are hearing an uncertain sound? They're not hearing the truth. How many people throughout this land and country is not hearing the truth?
Yeah, that's right.
The reason this lady I'm talking about is talking to another lady about hell is because this other lady goes to a church who teaches her there's no such thing as hell.
Yeah.
This other lady goes to a church that they teach her that Jesus and Satan were brothers. And Satan was the bad brother. And therefore, they're fighting over all of us. See, but there's a problem with that, isn't there? Because the Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that... Y'all go ahead and tell me the rest of it. Now, I'm not an Einstein, never, don't have any kind of degrees in front of my name. So I've got to ask you something. Because I think only means only.
Yep.
How many of y'all believe only means only? For God so loved gave His only begotten Son. How many believe the only one?
Amen.
All right. Now, for someone to say that Jesus and Satan are brothers, then that's not a right sound in trumpet, is it?
Nope.
But here's the question this verse asks. Go back with me, 1 Corinthians. I don't want to run through there too fast. I want you to see this. Look what it says. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? See, tonight, listen, be nice, but be straight.
Amen. Yeah.
Be nice, but be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, preacher, what if I'm good? You can be good and still go to hell.
Right, right.
What if I go to church? You can go to church and still go to hell. How do I go to heaven? There's only one way.
Amen.
You repent of your sins. In other words, you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins I committed. And I know that I can't save myself. And I'm going to ask Jesus to save me. If you do that, you'll go to heaven. That's straight. That's not being rough. Well, what that preacher down the road says this. I know what he says, but this is what the Bible says. And there's only one way. We've got to make sure we make not an uncertain sound.
Amen.
It's got to be the truth. Right. Because you know what? If we don't tell everybody the truth, they'll never make heaven. That's right. All right. We're almost done. Go to number 3 with me. Verse 17, back in Ezekiel chapter 7. So they sound the trumpet. Nobody does anything. Now, I want you to see what verse 17 says. Okay, everybody there? Ezekiel 7:17. We're getting close to the end. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. So I'm going to give you all a chance to chime in. I've done all the talking. What do you think that means when they're feeble and weak as water? Nobody? We're talking about the soldiers of the Lord's army right here. This is the children of Israel. And He's telling them the reason we can't get anything done because the soldiers are feeble and they're weak as water. What do soldiers have to do? Can you imagine this? I want y'all to look up here. Can you imagine me, Brother Richard, Brother Greg, and Brother Jason back there? We're going to go defend the country. And we're going to put backpacks on, Brother Richard, and we're going to run 10 miles tomorrow. You in? You in, Jason? Greg? You still living from the pinched nerve? You know, have you seen soldiers? Have y'all seen soldiers? Oh, you gotta fly. Go to the airport. Meet a soldier. Hard as a rock. Got a backpack that weighs as much as me. Just getting it through there. Just getting it through there. And you know what? When he gets to the battlefield, he's ready to battle. He's ready to go 10 miles, packing that, packing a shot buddy, and got a big M16 over here. He's getting it. What? That's who I want to fight with. I don't want to fight with me. But think about this. Our Christian fighters, we're out of shape. Because why? We ain't serious.
That's right.
We ain't training. Oh, we go to Sunday school? We do. We don't do nothing. We just go. Our people leave their stuff here so they got it when they get back. I didn't want to say that. I didn't mean to say that. I apologize, but listen, when they blew the trumpet and we needed these people ready for battle, weak as water.
Yep.
They couldn't do nothing. I don't want us to get that kind of shape. I don't want us to be like that. But you know what's happened? Can I share this with you? I just think about one thought. In 1973, they passed a law that made abortion legal. That's a big deal. And you know, that went against everything we believed in as God's people. Millions of babies have been murdered. And we ain't hardly even fought that.
Nope. That's right.
When I was a boy going to Mary McClellan Elementary School, they read the Bible every morning and somebody prayed.
Yeah.
When I went to Pulaski County High School, they gave a devotional every morning over the intercom and somebody prayed. And something happened from 1981 to now. You can't even take a Bible barely into a school. You sure ain't going to get on no intercom and do no praying.
No.
But nobody asked me. And when they took it away, we just said, ah.
Yep.
They took our Bibles away. You know what? We've got weak as water if we're not careful.
That's right. Amen.
We've got no fight left in. The Bible says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what the word contend means?
Aye.
Y'all ever watch them round? I love them. Them octagons where they get in their UFC fights. I mean, they go in there kick, bite. One guy the other day was fighting, bit a guy's ear.
Yeah.
I thought, that's fighting. That's in there. Get some. And you know what they said? He was the number one contender, Dove, and I thought, that's what God said we're supposed to do. Buy some ears. We need to be out there doing something for God
and being real instead of just being weak.
Yeah.
Well, I got a bumper sticker. Thinking about getting me a sign in the yard. Come on. Be like this lady at McDonald's yesterday.
Amen.
Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them hell is real. And that's all you can do. But that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. But you know what? This lady had enough gumption in her that she felt like, if I don't tell her, I don't know if anybody else will. Because
yeah.
She's here to trumpet, but it ain't the right one. And I didn't even ask her where she went to church. All I know is she's telling the truth. You don't have to be a Baptist to tell the truth. You just got to tell the truth. So they'll hear the truth. Well, conclusion. Y'all didn't think we'd get there, did you? We did. Go to verse 18. Can I tell you something? This does not have a happy ending, by the way. Usually I'll tell you these old stories and everything gets fixed and everybody's all right and we go home and just happy, go lucky and kumbaya, right? This ain't one of those nights. Verse 18. The Bible said, they shall also, chapter 7, verse 18, they shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and whores shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads. Okay, let me explain that one real fast, and we'll get you to the last verse. In Bible days, when people had done wrong, they called it repentance. And how they showed repentance was they got sackcloth, which was camel hair bags, and they would put that on them, and they would shave their head, and they would sit in ashes. And they'd take those ashes and they'd sprinkle themselves with those ashes. And when people would see them, they would know these are people who are repenting to God, not to Baal. This was only for God. No other gods in the world got that kind of activity. So when a good story, Jonah went into Nineveh, and the Bible said the whole town repented with sackcloth and ashes.
Yep.
So you can see this whole town of Nineveh with shaved heads, and they've got these camel hair sacks on, and they're sitting there through ash heaps. And they're showing the world that they're sorry for their sins and they believe in God. Now, Lona, that's what these people are doing. And we all believe if you do that, God's going to be alright. Can I tell you all a secret? You can go too far with God. And judgment just falls and you can't change it. I got to tell this story. I got 2 minutes to get this story in the end. I got to tell this. I can remember as a boy. Now these two dads, dad is the kind-hearted one. He is. Dad's the kind-hearted one. Mom was a beater right now, beater. Every once in a while, I was wondering, wait till your dad gets home. And I think he just whooped us because he didn't want to hear Mom anymore, so he just come and get us. But Dad always had that real hurt face on. And he said, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. And I kind of believed him a little bit. Not Mom. So I can remember right in the middle of it, Luke. I mean, right in the middle of a good whoop and say, woo-hoo, I promise, not no more. But you know what? She didn't stop. We started doing the circles. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know, it's against all things. I think you can still beat your kids, you just can't beat a dog. So I think we're all right still. But here's what I know. You can't right in the middle of God's judgment falling and think He's going to say, okay, I'm just going to let y'all off this time. Because it doesn't happen always that way. See, with God, that's why He said today's the day of salvation. Because when judgment falls, it's over.
Yeah.
Now, I got to show you this because you got that look in your eyes like, I doubt that. So verse 19. These people got real serious now. They shall cast their silver, verse 19, into the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their vows, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquities. You know what those people try to do, Karen? They try to buy their salvation. They try to buy their sins away. And I want to tell y'all something. You can't pay for your sins.
No. Amen.
You ain't got enough money.
Right.
And when God's judgment starts falling, these people start throwing money in the street. Here, take it out. Brother Greg, I'd rather not have a house and a car, and I'd rather not have clothes, and I'd rather not have no IRAs or anything else, as I would go to hell. I'd give it all up not to go to hell. And these people are giving it all up. They're throwing it all. They've been keeping it. But you know, here, God, take it. We're sorry. And God said, too late.
That's right. Amen.
Now, we might try giving up our stuff, but I want you to know something. It won't work. But you got to read the last verse of the chapter. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. See, I know there's billboards that says I'm an atheist and there's no such God, join my club and all that kind of nonsense. But I'm going to tell y'all honestly, one day the Bible said every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that God is God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm standing right here as your pastor and I'm telling you without holding anything back, I believe that 100%.
Sure.
There's people out there who don't believe there's a God, but guess what? He's real, and He's going to make Himself known to the whole wide world and every individual person in it.
Amen, that's right.
Now, we can do what we want to do. We cannot listen to the trumpets. We cannot fight the battle. But I'm going to tell you a secret. It doesn't change the outcome.
That's right.
God will have His say. I would rather hear the trumpet and take heed and do what I'm supposed to do. Now, they wrote a Bible verse about this same situation. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I'll let you stay and we'll go home on this one. Jim and Jeff, come up here. We'll have an invitation. But this is what God said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear their prayer, y'all ready? And heal their land. Tonight, it's not too late to hear the trumpet. It's not too late to hear God say, are you ready to come meet me one day? Every one of us in this building has an appointment with God. Y'all know that? The Bible says this. It's appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. God already knows what day Scott Chin back there died. God already got that down. He already knows what day that is. Now, Scott don't have a clue. That's why we go through life nervous about this. But with God, He knows that. And so God knows what day that is. And what God wants Scott to know is, the day you die, you get an appointment with me. And I don't cancel or reschedule. You got an appointment that you got to keep. I broke some appointments because I didn't want to go to the doctor. Anybody? I've been breaking dentist appointments for about a month now because I don't like dentists. But you will not break an appointment with God. So if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you have an appointment with God. You don't have to join this church, but you do have to accept Jesus as your Savior if you want to go to heaven. Cross the board tonight. Every one of us has an appointment with God. This little baby out here has already had an appointment with God. God already knows. God, he has an appointment with God. When you're born, you have an appointment with God. You've got to keep it. I'm just asking you tonight, are you ready to make that appointment?
Well, I might get ready this weekend. Can you promise me that you'll be here this weekend? You might make that promise. We can't. You and I cannot make those promises. So that's why God said today's the day of salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, this is your opportunity to get saved so you will know when you get to heaven that you heard the trumpet, you heard the word, and you listened to what God said, and you did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for your words tonight. Lord, I pray that you will help us as we live in this world, that we'll be honest. Thank you for examples like this lady that I met yesterday who just shared with a neighbor over some coffee at McDonald's that hell is real. Help us to be more like that today. And Lord, help us to let people know that hell is real. And Lord, that's all you told us to do. We can't change anybody's ways. We can't change anybody's lives. But we can sure tell them the truth. So Lord, help us to do that. Lord, I pray tonight in this building. I don't know the hearts in this building. I only know mine. And Lord, I'm thankful that many years ago that I got saved. And I know today that I am going to heaven. And when I stand before you in judgment one day, I know that my sins have been forgiven because of what took place in my life many years ago. So Lord, I pray if there's others here today who's not sure about that, that before they go home tonight, that they would. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed.